This is J.B. Crum III with Conscious Millionaire Membership Site, and today we have an incredible expert interview with Ryan Masters. Now, Ryan Masters is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. He's known as the Spartan Doctore, and Doctore in Latin means teacher. He's a world-class trainer. He has a YouTube site, The Workout Corner, that's had over 5 million views. He's a serial entrepreneur. He does marketing training with clients. He trains clients as an expert in strength and conditioning. And what we're going to be talking about today is the mindset that it takes to be successful in any area of your life, and then how does that apply to your entrepreneur journey. So, Ryan, welcome to the call, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me, JV. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit, just to start off, when you're working in the world of working with all these different people, you train, you have all these videos, you have courses that people take, what is the mindset that you think is so important for both short and long-term success?
Yeah, when it comes to fitness training, and the interesting thing is that a lot of this mindset that we're going to talk about for fitness training or working out, I don't know, transfers to every other area of your life, so also entrepreneurship or relationships. And so the first kind of core piece is understanding and accepting that for things to change for you, you have to change. So it's not an external thing, it's the internal that needs to change. So a lot of guys, you know, will come to me saying, hey, I need a workout. And when we go through a coaching call and talk more and really dig deep, they come to the conclusion and realization that, okay, it's not really the workout that they need. Yes, there's some mechanical motions they need to go through, but it's more of a mindset change and a mindset shift that they have to make to get the physical change that they desire.
So give us some examples of the type of belief shifts or that they need to make in order to be successful.
Well, when it comes for fitness, it is, one is getting away from this, the idea of it's a 90-day workout or something silly like that. You know, to change your body, and you, again, starting from the inside, we're changing the mindset and just how we approach stuff, so it's a lifestyle change. So it's a permanent change. And that right there is a huge, huge mindset shift to realize that, okay, for the rest of my life, I'm going to be getting better and training and improving myself. Not, oh, goodness, I have to work out forever if I want to stay in shape. You know, that's the wrong mindset and the wrong attitude right there. And, you know.
So what is the right mindset? Because that one's kind of like the move away. It's a lot of pain. I'm really not going to enjoy this almost.
Right. Yeah, the right mindset is understanding, okay, this is a journey, and I'm going to enjoy the process, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to give it my best. And so by doing that, their training takes them to a whole new level because they start appreciating the little steps of progress that they're making, which is how they see growth, versus always looking in the mirror and being disappointed because they don't see the fitness model in the mirror yet. And so then they quit, and then later on they start back over again. It's an endless cycle, the workout, you know, failure syndrome is what I call it.
So it sounds like there's a persistence that they have to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that, you know, I've learned in that training in any area. See, this is where it goes beyond just fitness. Anyone in any area of life that they have some level of skill comes from persistence, because I think we get, for whatever reason, we have this natural belief that everything should be a linear line of progress and there's going to be no bumps along the way, when that's just, you know, that's just not how life works. I mean, there are always bumps. It's a zigzag. And the most important thing is that you keep moving forward. It's just, you know, it's like riding a bicycle. If you stop, you're going to fall over. So you always have to keep pedaling, always keep moving forward. And when you do that, you're going to bust through whatever roadblocks or obstacles come through your way. It sounds cliche, but you know that's because it's true.
So I'm curious now because I work out, and so it sounds like one approach to working out a mindset would be, oh, I got to get in there, I got to work out 6 days a week. And yet I'm hearing you talk about, well, what's the long-term journey going to work out like? And maybe the long-term journey is 3 or 4 days a week.
Right, exactly.
Because that's more, you can persist, but you can also do that over time. How does that apply when you're working with, say, your clients in marketing? How does that persistence mindset, and also the mindset that I'm going to do this for a long time. Let's talk about that one first. Mm-hmm. The mindset that this isn't about 30 days is going to be making $1 million.
Right.
This is about I'm building a business and I'm in it for the long term, or I'm doing marketing and I'm in it for the long term. What is the mindset about the long term, and how does that come down to concrete things someone might be doing in, let's say, marketing?
Yeah, so the mindset is just knowing, just having this belief that, okay, I'm going to get there, and not letting go of the how. It's kind of like we're going from A to Z, and what happens is because we can't see B, C, D, E, F, we freak out and we don't move. When if we just know that Z is at the end and we just keep moving forward, we'll get there. And so to kind of translate that to business marketing, and even with working out, it for persistence, I believe it comes with, you start off, you really want quick wins in progress, so little steps, because when
quick wins, so that's part of that mindset as well, is that you want to start off and you're going to have some quick wins.
Right.
And that would be true in marketing as well.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's unrealistic to expect anyone to commit or persist in something super long without any signs of progress. I mean, I guess that's been done in cases, but it's easier, especially when I'm coaching clients on either end, marketing or fitness, that we start off with some quick wins. Okay, here's a low-hanging fruit. You know, that's kind of a term they use a lot in business. You know, let's fix this one landing page, and here's the measured improvement. You know, we increase the conversion rate by 10%. So now everyone's a little more excited. They know that this isn't going to turn the company into a $1 million company, but they know it's a step in the right direction. So now we're ready to take that next step. Or switching back over to the workout side, instead of starting off 6 days a week, which is like going from 0 to 100 miles an hour, we start off at 3 days, because that's enough to change your body. And so we go to the gym for 3 days a week and you do that for a whole month. Well, hey, that's compared to what you used to do, which is nothing, that's a huge, huge improvement. And you're gonna feel better, and you're gonna notice the pounds dropping off and the muscle adding on. Now, you're not gonna look like a Spartan at the end of 1 month, but that's not the point. The point is you're getting buy-in, and you're starting to break the old mindset of, oh, this cannot happen for me, and it's opening that door to, you know what, this really is possible.
So the step-by-step mentality, the mindset, is that you create a plan that's going to create change. And you're right. After a month, 12 workouts, you're going to be able to begin to feel some muscle definition.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able, just in 12 workouts, your biceps are going to feel different, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And just energy, and then you start looking at internal stuff. You're going to start feeling a little more confident. You're going to be a little more proud of yourself because you're sticking to something, and that's going to radiate and permeate through other areas of your life.
So let's bring that back over to the business side of marketing. What would be something you would do as someone over a month in marketing that would begin to make some measurable differences?
Well, I specialize and focus in direct response marketing, and that is marketing or advertising where we never pay for anything unless we can measure the exact return or lack of return that we get from it. So there's kind of a learning curve where I kind of educate the clients on that process, and one medium or tool that we use is called Google AdWords, which is where if you type in something on Google, you can have the option to have a little ad that shows up there. And so for a quick win, we'll set up, there's a lot of mechanics behind it as far as the back end, but just for simplicity's sake, for a quick win, we'll set up a little campaign and show them, hey, look, you know, you spent $100, we brought 50 people to the website, and three of them made a purchase for $300 each. So here's a small mini machine that was profitable for you.
Okay. So what you're going to do over that first month is create some activities that begin to get them some ROI.
Exactly.
It's not going to put $1 million in the bank.
No.
But it's going to give them a good return on the money they spent both in paying you for coaching them and in the money they spent on direct marketing.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it's, you know, with business and with a lot of things, you know, with workout and business, you know, with workouts, you know, it's such an abused market as far as marketers in that industry have no shame to promote all this stuff, and they can, you know, lie through their teeth. And so people are very hesitant because they're scared of being burned. And same thing with business. People looking to hire advertisers or business marketing guys, like I'm sure I've heard horror stories of guys, you know, they get all this dough up front and then they disappear or just their results don't happen. So by getting that those little steps of buy-in, it helps everyone set up.
Well, and this also kind of blows up the myth, I think, of all or nothing. I think a lot of people might have a mindset of all or nothing. So, because I've had people, you know, that I've had on initial coaching calls where I've had to say, I can't take your money because I can't produce that result. I'm thinking last year of a person who wanted to hire me, and they had, I think, $50,000. And in 4 months, they wanted to have $1 million. And I said, maybe there's someone who can do that. I myself don't exactly know how to do that. That's not how I see business. Mm-hmm. I see business as a progressive process, and you start off and you start making money, and then the next year you make more money, and you can grow quickly, but to go from 50,000, which would be somebody who's extremely overweight, to a Spartan body in 4 months is just unrealistic.
Right, exactly.
So what I'm hearing is having a mindset of knowing, but if we that it's a step-by-step process, and if we take your workout, just because I've worked out a number of times, and if you had 1 month at 12 times, even if you didn't increase it, at the end of 12 months, you'd probably be in pretty great shape.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so you're saying in the marketing, if you start off and you go, okay, we're going to do incremental step-by-step things for a month, and then we're going to do them for 12 months. At the end of 12 months, you'd probably have great marketing and traction and a lot of traffic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that stuff, you know, you'd be kicking butt because that none of your competitors would do that. I mean, I'm still amazed when I get into some of these businesses and I look at either what previous AdWords guys were doing or what, you know, the business – what the marketing person in-house was doing. And, you know, tracking, breaking that stuff down and tracking some of that metrics it's hard work. And that's the other part of the mindset is, for me anyways, is I enjoy it. And I view hard work as a place to leave competitors behind because I'm like, well, I know they're not going to want to do this, and so I'll do it. And it's the same thing for the gym. You know, people... Some people don't want to do the hard work, and so that's why they run into challenges. But it's we say hard work, but that's a relative term because it feels good, and you're obviously an extremely successful, hardworking guy, so you know that what other people classify as hard work to you is, yes, it's work, but it's fun because you know you have your mindset on the purpose or the outcome that you want to get to.
So what are some of the fears, because that's part of someone's mindset, that you have found holds people back both at the gym and in terms of their marketing?
Yeah, I think the biggest...
Or any area of building their business.
Yeah, the biggest would be probably fear of the unknown. Again, I think we just have this natural tendency to want to know, okay, what are the next 5,000 steps I have to take to get the Spartan body? Or I want to know every, 5,000 steps I need to take to turn this into a $1 million business. And until I know all of those steps ahead of time, I'm not going to start and take step one until I know all those other 4,999. And that's just, that's not realistic. It doesn't, that's not how it works. Because I used to think that too. But what it is no, I've got three steps planned out, so I'm going to take those three steps, and by the time I take those three, I will plan out the next three because it could change. And so so a lot of people, what holds people back is they're afraid of not knowing, again, what all those steps are down the road, and so they don't even bother taking that first step. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does make sense. And in your own workout experience, was there ever a time that you were, like, particularly out of shape? I'm just curious. And we've never talked about that because you've got this, you know, ripped Spartan body. but was there ever a time that you just had an average body?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, in college, I played rugby for the first couple of years. And then the last 2 years, you know, I kind of just got out of the sports stuff. And, you know, I was really skinny. Like, I had a fast metabolism, so I was very skinny. I was never, like, you know, I was never upset or like, oh, man, I'm the skinny guy. I'm blowing away in the wind. It just, it didn't bother me, but I was definitely just a skinny dude. And then there was times when I was trying to work out and put on a lot of muscle, and I ate tons and tons and tons and tons of food. And so I ended up having a little gut and a double chin and all that. So I've kind of been on both ends of the spectrum, but never, you know, super, super, super out of weight.
So there was a time, and then you had to take this whole journey in the workout world to get to this very muscular body. And it's very similar to someone in the entrepreneur world who wants to become a millionaire, is that it's amazing where you can be if you just take the mindset of, let's take these incremental steps for a month and then another month, and then you look at, where can I be in 12 months, and then where can I be in 2 years, and where can I be in three. In 3 years, you can have an incredibly robust, very profitable business.
Right.
And
exactly.
And the unfortunate thing is that people try to have the mindset of, oh, I got to do it in 30 days, or I got to do it, like you said, the workout of 90 days.
Right. Yes, that's a huge thing that holds them up. And then the other thing to that I would add is, so 3 years, they're going to have a successful business. Well, they're still not starting because they want to know what they're doing. You know, what are we doing exactly in year two and year three? And it's like, well, hold on, let's tackle month one first and make those little steps and stop worrying about year three.
Right. So it's creating a time frame that you've got a vision of where you want to go, and I think that's very important. Like, what do you want this business to be like? And
right.
And maybe model what does the business possibly look like in 3 years. But it's like in the workout world and over here in the business world, so many things are going to change in 12 months.
Oh, yeah,
you can't predict month 13, right?
No, yeah, not at all, exactly.
So you talk about fear of change just a little bit ago. I'd like for you to address that whole experience of getting out of the comfort zone and how you would have somebody approach that in workout, and then how you'd have them approach it in business, and what that the value of getting out of the comfort zone is.
Yeah, the fear of change and getting out of that comfort zone is a big one for all of us, and that's the other thing I think, you know, because I still have it, and everyone always does. It's just your comfort zone gets smaller and smaller, or bigger and bigger, depending on, you know, how much you work on it. It's just like a muscle. You know, addressing fear and mindset is just like a muscle. You have to train it and continually improve it. And it's something that people, I guess, again, it goes back to almost the fear of the unknown, because, like, well, if I change or I have to change, like, what's going to happen from that? You know, if I become successful in business, are all my friends and family going to, you know, just want me for my money or disapprove or think less of me? And so a lot of it, and same thing with working out. I mean, believe it or not, there's a lot of guys that, you know, I talk to that are like, well, you know, my friends are out of shape and I don't want them to judge me or think that I'm judging them because I'm trying to improve myself. And so one's fear of the unknown. The other is just fear of what other people are thinking. And you can't let that If you want to get anywhere in life, you can't let that have any place in it at all. It doesn't mean you have to go around and be a jerk and be like, I'm better than everybody else, but you have to be comfortable in your own skin and not worry about what other people think and understand that there are always going to be, you hear the term haters. You know, there's always going to be haters or, you know, people, negative Nancys, I guess some people call them, but people who just kind of project their failures or inadequacies on you because you're trying to improve yourself. Like, that's just, and there's nothing bad about them. That's just the way people are. And so
there has to be not just a mindset of persistence, but there has to be a mindset that I know where I'm going, and if other people aren't okay with it, I'm still going to go there.
Right, exactly. It's not like if other people aren't okay with it, I'm going to kick them in the face and run them over. No, it's just, well, whatever. That's their choice. I'm choosing to keep moving forward and keep going. And a great example of this, you know, in the real time is just go on YouTube, whether you're looking at my channel or anybody's channels. Just go on YouTube, look at the comments, look at the stuff, you know, look at the dumb stuff people just splurt out there, and you just see people, you know, kind of in that, you see examples, a microcosm of that kind of negative state, but then you also see positive state, and you see people who are like, thank you so much, or this is great, can't wait to do it, et cetera, and so forth. So you can literally see what we're talking about.
Well, and you know, I have found, I'm curious what you found, actually, the type of people who are always the naysayers seem to me to be the people who do the least with their life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so then if somebody's getting the mindset, I'm going to become a millionaire, and I'm going to take this conscious path to building my wealth, and I'm going to do it with honesty, then mm-hmm. there might be people out there go, oh, no, you could never become wealthy being honest. You've got to kind of deceive people. But that person's probably never built any real wealth in their life, and they actually don't know.
Exactly, and that's something that's so important that I think a lot of people miss, and it's something that I really grabbed a hold of as a history major. Believe it or not, I'm not a business major, I'm a history major. And what's the most important thing about history, or big thing that we learn, is who are your sources? You know, what are you referencing when you're writing this paper and making this argument? So same thing to if you want to become a millionaire and you're taking advice or just letting someone who is not making $1 million have any type of input on your strategy, I mean, you're setting yourself up for failure. So exactly, why would you listen to somebody who is saying, well, you know, if you want to, you know, make millions of dollars, you have to deceive and trick people, when that person, like you said, has never done it themselves. So they're really not qualified to give you an answer. Or same thing with someone, you know, who's not in the best shape, and they're like, well, if you want to get in shape, you have to live at the gym, and you can never eat another cookie as long as you so live. It's like, well, why would you listen to that person? Just because they're your friend, that doesn't mean they're a bad person, but just because they're your friend doesn't mean they're qualified to give you advice on a particular topic.
So let's take this to the area of peak performance, because at the gym, it's really about doing your best. It's about achieving some kind of a stellar outcome for most people. They have something in mind. They want to, is it getting the extra reps? Is it, you know, but there's a peak performance that's going on. And the same thing's over here in taking the millionaire journey. So what are some of the factors you found in terms of the mindset that helps people in the gym and then helps people in their marketing and business to achieve their best and stay on point so they're always getting that best result?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one big thing is, again, back just inundating yourself with the belief that, you know, for things to change for me, I have to change. And so that means continually getting better at the gym by getting more effective at your form, maybe increasing your sessions or increasing your food intake or nutrition around it, and same thing with business. You know, reading more books, talking to more people, getting more advice, qualified advice, just going out there and having that mindset really will help kind of bring everything along with it. The other I found that helps with peak performance is changing your environment and changing your surroundings in terms of setting yourself up for success. You know, one thing I tell a lot of my guys, when, you know, we hear the advice all the time, drink more water, And people are like, okay, I'm going to try and drink more water. And they leave it at that. And I would say, no, the way, the peak performance way to handle that is you, instead of saying, how can I drink more water? You ask, how can I keep water in front of me at all times? And therefore, I'll naturally drink it. So you have a case of water that sits at your feet by your desk. So now all you have to do is bend down, pick up a water bottle, it's sitting at your desk, and you drink it. I have a water cooler that's 2 feet from where I'm standing. So I stand up, go walk, fill up the cooler, and sit back down. So because I've changed my environment to help set me up for success.
So how would you do that as an entrepreneur? What are some of your ideas?
Well, I would, same thing. So setting up your office so that it you can work and focus. You know, I have a computer desk, and then I have a study desk because I found for me that, and this is going to vary from person to person, but, you know, for me, working in front of the computer when I'm trying to read or write is just distracting. And so I've changed my environment, so I'm working in a study type of place. If you're working at home, you know, having a separate room that's closed and locked so that you're free from distractions and able to focus. And the kids or you know, the spouse can't come in. That's part of setting yourself up for success and peak performance by changing your environment so that you're not being interrupted and can really get good work done.
Okay, so it's setting up your environment so it supports the outcomes you want to achieve.
Yes.
Okay, and I understand that I actually have two different desks as well. So what are some of the things from a mindset perspective that entrepreneurs could do to stay on track and stay focused and avoid all those distractions that come our way all day long?
Yeah, I like, you know, one mindset technique that I follow is just kind of the rule of three, which is focusing on, you know, three most important whatever, you know, goals of the day, goals of the month, goals of the week. And instead of, I guess, just leveraging the power of focus, because instead of having, you know, yes, you may have 500 things you want to do, but you're not going to do all 500 at once. So just pick the three most important right now. Going right back to what we've been talking about, pick the three most important, do those. Now you got your quick wins, and you feel better about yourself, and you can add on three more. Instead of having 500, you don't do 500. You feel bad. You beat yourself up. Now you have 1,000, and you don't, you know, and you're just beating yourself down. You can go either way. It's just a mindset shift.
So I heard that there's a chunking down and only set yourself up for as much as you can accomplish. And then you also started talking about set yourself up for some quick wins. So how do you get started? Because I know you're a highly successful guy. You're great in the gym. You know, you're a serial entrepreneur. You coach people in marketing. How do you start your day as an entrepreneur to get your mindset in the exact place that you want it to be able to achieve at your highest throughout the day?
Yeah, so I now it's a process, so it's always changing, always improving. So right now what I do is when I get into the office, the first thing I do, well, here's what I don't do, and this is what, if you're doing this, you should stop right now, which is getting in and checking email, you know, first thing of the day. That's the worst thing you can do, because now you're letting other people's schedules and priorities and concerns dictate your life and what you do for that day. So I never check email when I first get in. When I first get in, I spend 30 minutes and I journal. So I write about what are the three, I look at my weekly objectives and I say, okay, what do I want to accomplish today? What are the three? It can be more than three, but it's just, it always starts off with the three I call them most important tasks. These must be done before anything else gets done. So what are those three for the day? And then I have a couple of questions that I answer as far as, you know, what am I thankful for, so that I keep a you know, gratitude mindset. What did I learn yesterday? And then just some free form writing as far as anything frustrating me. What am I working on? That can range anywhere from business to relationships to, you know, working out, et cetera. And that's a 30-minute block of time, and I found that to be, when I don't do that, there's definitely an impact on my day. And I know you have a similar, maybe not exact, but I know from your book, you know, you have a similar approach to where you plan out the day ahead
of
time.
Right, yeah, I have the whole day planned before I leave. But then I get up and there's a There's a meditation, a visualization process of preparing for the day. And
right.
that's what you're really saying is that when you get to the office, instead of jumping right in and letting everybody else dictate your day for you, which is what you're doing with email, you have a way of preparing yourself for your day.
Right.
And then, how do you prepare for the week? Because that's another mindset. It's like, how do you prepare that I'm going to have a great week? What does Ryan do?
Yeah, kind of the same thing, but just on a larger block. Actually, I usually do it in 30 minutes, usually Sunday night. My weeks, I go Sunday to Saturday. So Sunday night, I will sit down and kind of review those notes from the past week or the journal entries. I will look at the monthly goals and just kind of reflect and be like, all right, you know, are things heading in the direction I want? And then answer those questions like you just asked, you know, what's going to make this a great week? And what are the three most important things that I can accomplish this week that will help me move towards those goals?
Okay, so it's always having a mindset of being prepared.
Yes. Yeah, it's disciplining yourself to take that time out, because it's easy to say, well, I don't have time for that, or it's not that important because it's just, you know, I'm just sitting there planning. And when you first start out, it'll be kind of rough because you'll probably set, you know, weekly goals that are like way, you know, crazy, not realistic, or maybe they're not super important. And that's just, again, part of the process. Like, you don't just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to plan my week, and now all of a sudden you're an expert at planning your week. Like, that in and of itself is an exercise at the gym. Like, you have to keep doing it so that you get better at it and your planning muscle grows, and then you become stronger and your planning becomes much more effective, and then what stems from that is much more effective action.
Which kind of brings us back to what we were discussing before about being persistent.
Right.
And taking things in kind of micro steps.
Yes.
Working out 12 times in a month, not trying to work out 30 times in a month. Doing a few things in marketing that are beginning to get you traction and get you some traffic that's converting. And then next month you can improve on that and increase the amount of traffic.
Right, right, exactly. And
so,
go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, I would add as an aside to all this, you know, if someone's new to being an entrepreneur or they're new to fitness training, it may be kind of hard to be like, well, okay, Ryan and JV, that sounds nice, but I haven't experienced that for myself yet. And I would counter and say, no, that's not true at all. You actually already have, just in a different area of life. And it's the same thing. So whether you feel that you have really great relationships, or you had a great job earlier, or whatever you're really good at now, you already went through this process of starting off, not being good, being persistent, making those small progressive steps. And so if you can spend some time to sit back and reflect on that, like literally sit down for 15 minutes and think about, okay, how did I get good at playing the violin, and look back and look at the pieces, you will see that the same principles and concepts there are what we're talking about here. And then you will have that, and you can make that internal connection and say, oh, okay, I can do the same thing for becoming a millionaire or becoming in Spartan shape or whatever type of fitness goals you may have.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on this call, Ryan, is that here you transcend one area. You're both in the workout world and you're in the business world. And we've been talking this entire call about taking mindset from one area and bringing it to another area. And I know that you also have been doing dancing lessons.
Yes. Yes,
so,
yeah.
So how have you taken the mindset from, say, training, because you're so good there, how have you brought that over to a world that was a little difficult at first for you?
Oh, yeah.
Outside your comfort zone. I remember you talking to me about that.
Absolutely, outside my comfort zone, completely foreign. You know, like, here's a guy from the gym, and they're like, okay, now just listen to the rhythm. And I'm like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. And the count of the music, like, it was frustrating, and it was embarrassing, and because – yeah, I remember the first dance place I went to, a girl asked me to dance, and I, you know, you don't say no when someone asks you to dance. So I went out, but oh my goodness, I couldn't keep, it was two-step, and I just couldn't keep rhythm and the beat, and I was so embarrassed. But that just made me want to get better. You know, that's part of the mindset. I was like, ugh, this, you know, this stinks, and I look like a fool, and she probably hates me, and this is really embarrassing. And so you beat yourself up, you probably shouldn't do that. But then you just understand that, okay, well, the only way I'm going to get better at dancing is if I do it. You know, I can read all the blogs I want, I can watch all the videos I want, but until I get my butt out there and do it, then I'm not going to make any progress. And until I get my butt out there and do it wrong, I'm not going to make any progress. And so same thing. Okay, you know, I want to get in shape, so I'm going to spend 5 years watching YouTube videos and reading fitness magazines. Well, you know, until you get in the gym and start working out, even though, you know, when you start, your workout may be incorrect, some of your form may be bad, like all that stuff will be fixed via persistence. Or, you know, instead of sitting on the sidelines and be like, yeah, I'm going to start a business here, you know, when the timing's right, eventually, after I've read thousands of business plans and articles so that I know what I'm doing. No, you just got to get on the dance floor and start shaking your thing so that you learn, you know, what's wrong and incorrect.
Well, and that's so great insight. And it's the same thing with business. It's like, okay, you can spend a year trying to create the perfect business model, and it's still going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because until you start putting it into action, you don't know what's right. Or you can get it done in 7 days and get out there and find out more about what your customers want and start doing one product that seems to be what they want and figuring out how to sell it.
Right.
And then you're learning by putting money in the bank.
Exactly.
Like a lot more fun way to learn.
yes, it is. And you're learning the fundamentals. You know, for a business, the fundamentals, you know, one of the biggest things is learning how to acquire a customer. It doesn't matter if you're the best violin teacher in the world. If you don't know how to acquire a customer, all the rest of those skills you have are moot. And if that's another thing that I noticed from dancing is that there's some fundamentals. You know, I do a lot of West Coast swing. That's my favorite. And there are fundamentals that if you do not get those fundamentals down, you have nothing to build off of. And I think the natural tendency for me and anyone who's dancing is like, we want to start off doing all these cool, fancy moves. And so we're like, no, skip this basic step stuff. I don't want to do that garbage. I want the cool, flashy moves. Same thing. No. Just I don't want this basic routine. I want the cool exercises, or I want the social media marketing tactics. You know, instead of focusing on the fundamentals, and that's what really gets a lot of people off track.
That's incredible, Ryan. So is there anything, if you wanted to wrap up and you were going to say, okay, this is one thing I want everyone listening to this call to remember in terms of their mindset that would make the most impact the quickest on them being successful as an entrepreneur, what would that be? I know that's putting you on the spot because we didn't talk about this before, but I'm curious, what would be that one mental insight you think would have the biggest impact?
It would be internalizing and just living and dying by the line for things to change for you. You have to change, and that means, you know, that means not the problem, but the problem and the solution are from within. That sounds cheesy, but if you're externalizing it and saying, well, the economy's not right now, my family's, you know, I'm not ready because my family is, you know, whatever, you know, no, it's for things to change for you. You have to change. So get the books, get the coaching, get the knowledge, take the action, make the mistakes, and then you will get the outcome or goals that you want. But that's only going to happen if you change. Nothing else has to change. Everything else can stay the same. It's just you have to change.
So it's taking responsibility that this is my journey.
Yes.
And the world can be falling apart around me, but there's always going to be customers somewhere that would buy what it is that I'm going to sell or going to find out that they want.
Right. Exactly. And I would say, you know, the asterisk to that is learning. This is a whole other topic, so we don't have to dive into it, but just learning how to detach your personal self-worth from the outcomes and from what you're doing. I think that's what holds a lot of people back too, is now, okay, if people don't buy my product, that means I'm a you know, I'm a bad person and nobody wants me and I can't do anything. And you can't do that. You have to separate your personal self-worth, again, springs from your internal inherent sense of self-worth, and that does not depend in any way, shape, or form on the success or failure of your business or any other area of your life.
So that kind of sounds like something that would free you.
Yes.
That it's like you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have days that the money didn't come into the bank, but this has nothing to do with you in terms of your own self-worth as a human being.
Exactly.
So
as long as you
have those two tied up in your mind.
Yeah, those are separate. They are not together. And if you just keep moving forward, that will fix everything else.
Well, I know people can find you on YouTube at the Workout Corner, and I've gone and you do those workouts with the heavy chains around your neck. you got to be impressed with that. It's kind of cool to watch. I have to admit, I've never put the heavy chains. It's hard enough for me to do the heavy dumbbell.
I don't want to scare, some of it, part of being on YouTube is being entertaining. So some of
it's for show.
I wouldn't coach somebody to go do that.
But the fact that you have 5 million views, I think, is a marketing lesson in itself for anybody starting out, because you want to have exposure and you got to do something that's going to be fun and exciting for people.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other place that you would like people to come find you at the present moment? I know you're doing this new Spartan program you've just unleashed, and that seems to be doing great. Is there any other thing that you would like to tell people in terms about your own programs? Because I know that there are probably some people on the call that, even though they're entrepreneurs or like myself, they really want to work out and have great bodies. So is there anything that you would like to tell them that they could ways they could find you?
Yeah, so there's the workoutcorner.com or the Workout Corner on YouTube, and then also from the marketing side, my marketing business is Squeeze Juice Marketing. So that's squeezejuicemarketing.com. I do coaching and consulting for online companies with direct response marketing, and be happy to help anyone in either one of those industries.
Great. Well, we will put all of those URLs, we'll put them along with your along with the call and your photo and information about you. So they will all be there. If you're listening to this call, all you got to do is just go back to the expert interview area and look for Ryan Masters, and you'll find all of those links for you. Ryan, I really appreciate you taking the time out of, I know it's a busy schedule for you, to be on this call. I think you've added a great deal of value, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.